Matthew chapter 8, verses 28 to 34. Matthew chapter 8, verses 28 to 34. And when he came to the other side, to the country of the Gadarenes, two demon-possessed men met him, coming out of the tombs, so fierce that no one could pass that way. And behold, they cried out, "What have you to do with us, O Son of God? Have you come here to torment us before the time?" Now a herd of many pigs was feeding at some distance from them. And the demons begged him, saying, "If you cast us out, send us away into the herd of pigs." And he said to them, "Go." So they came out and went into the pigs. And behold, the whole herd rushed down the steep bank into the sea and drowned in the waters. The herdsmen fled, and going into the city, they told everything, especially what had happened to the demon-possessed men. And behold, all the city came out to meet Jesus. And when they saw him, they begged him to leave their region. Now, in our study of the Gospel of Matthew so far, we have been looking at the person of Christ the King in the first four chapters of Matthew. Then we looked at the principles of Christ the King, the principles that he taught on the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5 right up to chapter 7. And now we are beginning to get a glimpse of the power of Christ the King in Matthew chapter 8 and chapter 9, where we see Matthew reporting 10 miracles manifesting the very power of God. And we find that these miracles are recorded in three groups, and each group of miracles is followed by an event relating to discipleship, which separates the groups. And we also said that we find deep spiritual lessons in these miracles, and we could categorize each section of miracles with a special emphasis, because we observe in the first set of miracles, in verses 1 to 22, we observe God's grace to the outcasts. And then in the second set of miracles, which we have begun to study, in Matthew chapter 8, verse 23, right up to chapter 9, verse 17, we see peace, God's peace to the troubled soul. And then in Matthew chapter 9, verse 18, right up to verse 38, we see God restoring the shattered, the broken. We began our study on the second group of miracles, which depict the peace to the troubled soul, peace to the troubled soul. Matthew 8, 23 to chapter 9, verse 17. And we looked at the miracle of Jesus bringing peace in the storm last Sunday. Today, we will look at how Jesus brings peace in a community in Matthew chapter 8, verses 28 to 34. He brings peace in a community. The parallel passage of Matthew chapter 8, verse 28 to 34 is found in Luke chapter 8. And let me read to you Luke chapter 8, verses 26 to 39. Luke chapter 8, verses 26 to 39. Then they sailed to the country of the Gadarenes, which is opposite Galilee. And when he stepped out on the land, there met him a certain man from the city who had demons for a long time. And he wore no clothes, nor did he live in a house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out, fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, "What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for it had often seized him, and he was kept under guard, bound with chains and shackles. And he broke the bonds and was driven by the demon into the wilderness. Jesus asked him, saying, "What is your name?" And he said, "Legion," because many demons had entered him. And they begged him that he would not command them to go out into the abyss. Now a herd of many swine was feeding there on the mountain. So they begged him that he would permit them to enter them, and he permitted them. Then the demons went out of the man and entered the swine, and the herd ran violently down the steep place into the lake and drowned. When those who fed them saw what had happened, they fled and told it in the city and in the country. Then they went out to see what had happened and came to Jesus, and found the man from whom the demons had departed sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. they also who had seen it told them by what means he who had been demon-possessed was healed. Then the whole multitude of the surrounding region of the Gadarenes asked him to depart from them, for they were seized with great fear. And he got into the boat and returned. Now, the man from whom the demons had departed begged him that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to your own house and tell what great things God has done for you." And he went his way and proclaimed throughout the whole city what great things Jesus had done for him. Last Sunday, we saw the challenge that Jesus faced along with the disciples in the storm in the Sea of Galilee. Now we look at what happened after Jesus crossed the sea, after he had crossed the Sea of Galilee, the challenge of the demons in Gadarenes in Matthew 8 verses 28 to 34. Gergesa was a small town in the northeastern shore of the Sea of Galilee, and there were steep cliffs in this region. And the town of Gadara, from which comes the word Gadarenes, is located further south. The general region, including Gergesa, was often called the country of Gadarenes. Matthew, in his record of the event, tells us that Jesus and his disciples actually encountered two men who were demon-possessed. One of them was more vocal than the other. That is probably why Luke and Mark focus on this one man. In order to deliver mankind from the clutches of the evil one, Jesus would have to overpower Satan and his demons, because Satan and his demons hold men in torment. Throughout the gospel accounts, we find Jesus doing exactly that. Jesus demonstrates his power to completely overcome and subdue Satan. In Luke chapter 11 verse 20, Jesus says, "But if I cast out demons with the finger of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you." In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 8, the latter part of the verse tells us, "For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." So the Lord became a man and came into this world to destroy the works of Satan and to release man from Satan's strongholds, to release man from the clutches of the evil one. When he comes again to establish his kingdom, he will bind Satan for 1,000 years. And after those 1,000 years, Satan will be set free for a brief period of time. And then Satan and his co-workers will be cast into the eternal lake of fire, where they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Revelation chapter 20 verse 2. "He laid hold of the dragon, that serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. Revelation chapter 20 verses 7 to 10. "Now when the thousand years have expired, Satan will be released from his prison and will go out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, whose number is as the sand of the sea. They went up on the breadth of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. The devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are. And they will be tormented day and night forever and ever." Now, demons attack people in the spiritual, mental, and physical realm. And these are the three areas of attack in the spiritual, mental, and physical realm. In the spiritual and physical realm, demons promote false religions, demon worship, the occult, all kinds of immorality, and murder. We see this in Revelation chapter 9 verses 20 and 21. Revelation chapter 9 verse 20, 21. "The rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues did not repent of the works of their hands, nor give up worshipping demons and idols of gold and silver and bronze and stone and wood, which cannot see or hear or walk. Nor did they repent of their murders or their sorceries or their sexual immorality or their thefts." Speaking of the fall of Babylon, which is the personification of evil, the Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 18 verses 23 to 24, Revelation chapter 18 verses 23 to 24, and the light of a lamp will shine in you no more, and the voice of bridegroom and bride will be heard in you no more, for your merchants were the great ones of the earth, and all nations were deceived by your sorcery. And in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints, and of all who have been slain on earth. So demons attack people in the spiritual, mental and physical realm. In the spiritual and physical realm, demons promote false religion, demon worship, the occult, and all kinds of immorality and murder, which we saw in these verses. In the intellectual and physiological realm, the demons promote false doctrines and insanity. The manifestation in the physical realm also results in violence, self-destruction, as in the case of this man who gashed himself with stones. And we read of this in the parallel passage of the Gospel of Mark, in Mark chapter 5, verse 5. Night and day among the tombs and on the mountains, he was always crying out and cutting himself with stones. Now, demons also cause inability to speak and suicidal mania. Mark chapter 9, verses 17 to 27. And someone from the crowd answered him, "Teacher, I brought my son to you, for he has a spirit that makes him mute. And whenever it seizes him, it throws him down, and he foams and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. So I asked your disciples to cast it out, and they were not able. And he answered them, 'O faithless generation, how long am I to be with you? How long am I to bear with you? Bring him to me.' And they brought the boy to him. And when the spirit saw him, immediately it convulsed the boy. And he fell on the ground and rolled about, foaming at the mouth. And Jesus asked his father, 'How long has this been happening to him?' And he said, 'From childhood. And it has often cast him into fire and into water to destroy him.'" You see those suicidal tendencies. "But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." And Jesus said to him, "If you can, all things are possible for one who believes." Immediately the father of the child cried out and said, "I believe, help my unbelief." And when Jesus saw that a crowd came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, "You mute and deaf spirit, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again." And after crying out and convulsing him terribly, it came out, and the boy was like a corpse, so that most of them said, "He is dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. Now these two men in Gadarenes, described by Matthew, were in such a pitiful condition when Jesus found them. They were living in the tombs, violent and dangerous, and a menace in that area. Matthew records, "There met him two demon-possessed men coming out of the tombs, exceedingly fierce, so that no one could pass that way." Matthew chapter 8, verse 28. They were victims of powers beyond their control, and they needed deliverance. The gospel accounts tell us that one of them was naked, and he had such great strength that no chain could keep him bound. Mark chapter 5, verses 4 to 5. Mark chapter 5, verses 4 to 5. "Because he had often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been pulled apart by him, and the shackles broken in pieces, neither could anyone tame him. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying out and cutting himself with stones." Now the personality and the voice of demons sometimes can and sometimes will continually override the personality and the voice of the person who is possessed. Jesus asked one of the men, "What is your name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." Mark chapter 5, verse 9. A Roman legion could have as many as 6,000 men, 6,000 warriors. So you can imagine the number of demons that possess this man. You see, Satan is a thief. He robs his people of everything good, and then he destroys them. Jesus exposes Satan in John chapter 10, verse 10. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. No man-made authority can overcome the devil. The ones whom he occupies need deliverance, and that deliverance can come only through Jesus Christ. And by the way, it is only in the name of Jesus that those demons flee. Demons recognize Jesus. Demons have faith, but it is not saving faith. James chapter 2 verse 19. James chapter 2 verse 19. You believe that there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. Demons believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that he has authority to command them. They acknowledge that there is a divinely appointed time which has not yet come for their judgment. And they know that Jesus Christ is the judge and that he will punish them with eternal damnation. They know that. Therefore, they tremble, they shudder at the name of Jesus. Demons shudder because their belief is that of recognition, not acceptance of the Son of God. The demons shudder because their belief is that of recognition and not acceptance of the Son of God. They do not accept Christ as Savior or Lord. They can't. They are bound. They fully realize the consequences of rejecting God. In the light of the knowledge that the demons have, it seems strange that Satan and his fallen hosts bothered to tempt Jesus and to attack Jesus. But these supreme deceivers are also supremely self-deceived. I repeat, these supreme deceivers are also supremely self-deceived. Satan and his hosts have been defeated by the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But Satan has not conceded defeat. It is in the nature of Satan and his followers to oppose God, even though they know that they will not succeed. These demons knew that they would be judged only after the millennium, the 1,000-year reign of Christ. Luke chapter 8 verse 31. That's why they begged Jesus. Luke chapter 8 verse 31. And they begged him that he would not command them to go out into the abyss. So they were wondering why Christ was dealing with them now. It was much too early for their scheduled time of torment. They sensed that Jesus was about to interrupt and destroy their present evil work. So in desperation, the demons looked around for a way of escape. And they spotted a herd of many swine feeding. They have to possess a body. So here they wanted to possess those swine that were feeding. Luke chapter 8 verse 32. Now a herd of many swine was feeding there on the mountain. So they begged him that he would permit them to enter them, and he permitted them. Mark tells us that there were around 2,000 swine. Mark chapter 5 verse 13. And at once Jesus gave them permission. Then the unclean spirits went out and entered the swine. There were about 2,000. We are not told why the demons asked to be sent into the herd of swine. Maybe they thought that the Lord had changed his timetable for judgment and that they would immediately be thrown into the great abyss. Inhabiting pigs would be any day better off than the abyss. So the request is made. We cannot be sure of the reason for their request, but we know for sure that they knew that Jesus would not allow them to remain in these men any longer. So they plead with him, and he grants them their request. Now we see again the power of the Lord Jesus Christ displayed. Matthew chapter 8 verse 32. And he said to them, go. So when they had come out, they went into the herd of swine. And suddenly the whole herd of swine ran violently down the steep place into the sea and perished in the water. Jesus cast the entire legion of demons out of the two men with just one word, be gone. Be gone. It required tremendous power to cast out so many demons as Jesus did. Yet, he did it in an instant. As fallen angels, demons are extremely powerful beings. When an angel was sent with a message for the prophet Daniel, he was delayed by a demon called the Prince of the Kingdom of Persia. And this was apparently a territorial demon which controlled the kingdom of Persia. The angel who was sent to Daniel was delayed 3 weeks, 21 days. And the Lord had to send the archangel Michael to his aid. Daniel chapter 10 verse 13. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. And behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. For I had been left alone there with the kings of Persia. Demons have superior intelligence. Speaking of the prince of Tyre, who is symbolic of Satan, the Bible tells us in Ezekiel chapter 28 verses 3 and 4, Ezekiel 28 verses 3 and 4, you are indeed wiser than Daniel. No secret is hidden from you. By your wisdom and your understanding, you have made wealth for yourself and have gathered gold and silver into your treasuries. Demons not only have superior intelligence, the demons have superior strength. They are very strong. Mark chapter 5 verse 4. For he had often been bound with shackles and chains, but he wrenched the chains apart and he broke the shackles in pieces. No one had the strength to subdue him. Luke reports about the evil spirit that attacked the sons of Sceva. The sons of Sceva were attacked by the evil spirit. Acts chapter 19 verse 16. And the man in whom was the evil spirit leaped on them, mastered all of them and overpowered them so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. Now some demons have superior supernatural powers to perform signs and false wonders. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 9. The coming of the lawless one is by the activity of Satan with all power and false signs and wonders. The demons existed long before the creation of the world. They existed first as holy angels and then as fallen ones called demons. It's only Jesus Christ who has the power to bruise Satan's head, and it will only be by the power of Christ that Satan will be bound and cast into the abyss and eventually into the lake of fire and brimstone. Revelation chapter 20 verse 3. And threw him into the pit and shut it and sealed it over him so that he might not deceive the nations any longer until the 1,000 years were ended. After that, he must be released for a little while. Revelation 20 verse 10. Revelation 20 verse 10. And the devil who had deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and sulfur where the beast and the false prophet were, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Paul the apostle warns us that even as God's children, those of us who are born again, we cannot withstand the attacks of the enemy. We cannot withstand the attacks of the enemy without the Lord's armor, especially the shield of faith. Remember that when you become a Christian, when you are born again, you are in a battlefield. It's not a playground. I've told you so many times, it's not a playground, it's a battlefield. And this battle lasts till the end. And we are therefore called to put on the whole armor of God, especially the shield of faith against the enemy. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 16. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. So the believer must make sure he has the shield of faith. And he takes up the shield of faith and slays the enemy with the sword of the Spirit, the word of God. Some people wonder why Jesus would permit the legion of demons to destroy a herd of 2,000 swine and also put the owners out of business. Remember, God owns the universe. God owns everything. You and I, who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, are only stewards of what God has given us. He owns everything. We are not owners, He's the owner. We are only stewards. God owns everything and He has the right to dispose it off as He pleases. Psalm 50. Psalm 50 verses 10 and 11. For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle on 1,000 hills. I know all the birds of the mountains, and the wild beasts of the field are mine. Animals were created for man's use and consumption, and these pigs were anyway destined for slaughter. If the owners were Jews, they had no right to raise pigs in the first place. And the souls of these two men were infinitely greater in value than 2,000 animals. The primary lesson here in this passage is not about raising pigs or eating them. The reason why these passages are recorded in the Bible is to show us the power of the Lord Jesus Christ over Satan and his forces. What a transformation had taken place in the lives of these two men. But what about the perspective of the people? When the herdsmen saw what happened to the pigs, they ran away and reported everything in the city. Actually, peace had come upon that city because these two people, these two men were healed. So these herdsmen, they ran into the city and they reported everything in the city, including what had happened to these two men. The mass suicide of the pigs proved that Jesus had cast out the demons from the men. Now, when the people in the city came, they also saw one of the men and presumably the other person also clothed and in his right mind sitting at the feet of Jesus. Luke chapter 8 verse 35. Then they went out to see what had happened and came to Jesus and found the man from whom the demons had departed sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. The people in the city, probably including the owners of the pigs, were so amazed at the report that the whole city came. They came out to meet Jesus. Matthew 8 verse 34. And behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus. Many interpret this passage by saying that the response of the people was because of the material concern over the loss of the many pigs. I too used to think that way. But as I study this passage further, I see that the owners of the pigs are not mentioned in any of the gospel accounts, although they could have been there. The issue was not the demons, the pigs, or the two men. The issue was Jesus. These people had first come out to see what it was that had happened. But when they came to Jesus and found the man from whom the demons had departed sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Luke chapter 8 verse 35. They were afraid. Luke 8 verse 37. Then the whole multitude of the surrounding region of the Gadarenes asked him to depart from them, for they were seized with great fear. And he got into the boat and returned. Mark records the same. Mark chapter 5 verse 15, the latter half of the verse. And they were afraid. Mark 5 verse 15, the latter half of the verse. And they were afraid. They were not angry, they were not resentful, but they were scared, they were afraid. You see, when unholy men come face to face with the holy God, they are terrified. When Isaiah saw the Lord sitting on the throne, lofty and exalted, he exclaimed, "Woe is me, for I am ruined, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 5. Remember what Peter did when he saw the miraculous catch of fish. He fell down at Jesus' feet saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." Luke chapter 5 verse 8. We saw last time how the disciples were more afraid of Jesus than the storm after the storm was calmed, because they realized that God himself was in the boat with them. The sinner who knows he faces God can only see his sin, and the result is fear. Now at that point, he can turn to Christ and be forgiven of his sins, or be filled with fear and plead with Christ to depart. Now that's what these people in the city did. These people from the city saw the one who could command demons. He had power over animals, and he could restore shattered minds to sanity. They were scared, and they did not want to have anything to do with him. The people did not ridicule or persecute Jesus. They simply asked him to leave them alone. Perhaps they resented his righteousness that exposed their sin. They did not care. They did not care whether his powers were good or whether he was from God. They just wanted him to go away. And this is the kind of indifference that is seen in most people throughout history when confronted with the person of Christ. And when they realize who he is, many of them are just indifferent. They want him to go away because they love their sin more than they want to repent and love God. This is the kind of indifference that wants to let God alone and be left alone by God. To them, God is an intrusion and they do not want to be bothered. I remember meeting an agnostic once on the street while I was giving out tracts. And I tried to give him a tract and he looked at me and he said, "I am an agnostic." Agnostic means a person who believes that God exists but that he cannot relate to God. But then I kept telling him, "Please take the tract, please read it." Finally, he did take it from me. But you see, that indifference, wanting to let God alone and be left alone by God, that is man's usual response. But in contrast to the attitude of the people, one of the men who had been delivered, remember, he begged Jesus that he might accompany him. Luke chapter 8 verse 38. Now the man from whom the demons had departed begged him that he might be with him. He was so grateful to Jesus for deliverance and he was so drawn to Jesus in love and adoration that he could not imagine being separated from Jesus, because Jesus had delivered him. But Jesus had different plans for him. Instead of granting him his request, Jesus sent him home to be a witness. You see, Christian witness, Christian service must begin at home. Jesus tells him in Luke chapter 8 verse 38, in the latter half of the verse, right up to verse 39, "But Jesus sent him away saying, 'Return to your own house and tell what great things God has done for you.' And he went his way and proclaimed throughout the whole city what great things Jesus had done for him." Jesus sent the man back to his own people, most likely to the people of the city that had rejected him, the very people who had asked Jesus to leave. So this man was to be an evangelist to his own people. He was to be a living testimony to the same people who rejected Jesus. He was to tell them what Christ had done. He was to tell them that Christ still loved them and desired to redeem them. Now, as we leave this passage, let's remember that although they had told Jesus to depart, Jesus still extended his grace to them by telling the man to go back to the city, to go back to his house in the city. Isn't that what we see Jesus doing even today? In 2 Peter chapter 3 verses 9 to 10 we read, 2 Peter chapter 3 verses 9 to 10, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up." You see, God's grace is extended now. Jesus is extending his grace now, but his grace will give way to judgment one day. This dramatic incident is most revealing. It shows what Satan does for a man. Satan robs him of sanity and self-control, fills him with fears, robs him of the joys of home and friends, and if possible, condemns him to an eternity of judgment. It also reveals what society does for man. What does society do for a man in need? It restrains him, isolates him, threatens him, but society is unable to change him. See then what Jesus Christ can do for a man whose whole life, within and without, is nothing but bondage and battle. What Jesus did for these two demoniacs, he will do for anyone else who needs him. Jesus Christ came to them and even braved a storm to come to them. And this is the grace of God. He delivered them by the power of his word. He came to them and he delivered them. He restored them to sanity, society, and back to service. Now there are three prayers in this event. Number one, we see the demons besought Jesus to send them into the swine. Number two, we see the citizens besought Jesus to leave. And number three, the one man besought him to let him follow. Jesus answered the prayers of the demons and the citizens, but not the prayer of the healed man. He had greater plans for him. We can construct a statement of faith from the words of these demons. You see, demons have faith. James chapter 2 verse 19. You believe that God is one, you do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. The demons believe in the existence of God and the deity of Christ, as well as the reality of future judgment. We just saw that. They also believed in prayer. We saw that. They knew Christ had the power to send them into the swine. The fact that the demons destroyed 2,000 pigs is nothing compared with the fact that Jesus delivered two men from the powers of Satan. God owns everything and he can do with it as he pleases. Jesus values men more than pigs or sheep. Matthew chapter 12 verses 11 and 12. He said to them, which one of you who has a sheep, if it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will not take hold of it and lift it out? Of how much more value is a man than a sheep? So it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. Jesus brought peace to these men's lives and to the community where for a long time they had been causing trouble. But when the men were healed, the community wanted Jesus to depart. He was actually bringing peace to the community, but now the community has rejected him. How do we respond? How do we respond to God's grace and mercy that has been shown to us? Would we respond like the people described here? Or would it be like the man who was healed in Luke 8? Luke chapter 8 verse 38. Now the man from whom the demons had departed begged him that he might be with him. Now this man would soon realize that although he could not experience Jesus physically with him, he could surely experience the power of Christ and the presence of Christ ministering to him as he obeyed the Lord. And today we have Christ indwelling us by the Holy Spirit. Every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ can experience the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 8 verse 9. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If, in fact, the Spirit of God dwells in you, anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. So all that we need to do as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ is to walk in step with the Holy Spirit, in intimacy with God, in obedience to him, and we will experience his manifest presence and his power on a continual basis in our lives. In the book of Galatians chapter 5 verse 25 we read, if we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Shall we bow our heads in prayer?